by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Dramatized by Melissa Murray. Episode 2.
Eleven in a row. You're good, Nikola. You're so good.
If you're bored.
How could I be bored watching you toss balls of paper into a waste paper basket?
Go away, Pyotr.
I'll send my report to the committee tomorrow. They would like to hear directly from you.
I've resigned from the organisation.
Another thing you and Shatov have in common. Resigning from the organisation. That and the fact that you've both slept with his wife, Maria.
If you had a wife, I'd sleep with her. You've no reason to be jealous.
At least he resigned as a matter of principle.
You think I have no principles?
Can we talk practicalities? Virginsky is proving a very handy fellow. He has recruited half the local high school boys and has them leafleting the factory calling for strike action. I absolutely love useful idiots. And it's especially good, the dad connection. He'll be so upset when he finds out Virginsky's working for me.
I like your father very much.
Stop annoying me, please. The question is, do we go for strike action at the factory or plan something more outrageous? What's your preference?
A strike takes organisation, preparation.
True. On the other end of the scale, I spent the afternoon with the governor's wife, your mother's archenemy. Isn't it funny to think of those old ladies hating one another? She took to me immediately, I think.
She won't finish by liking you, though. That's not how people end up feeling about you.
The wonderful thing is that she, the governor's wife, who's terribly fond, terribly inspired by the young people, but worried that we or they might take matters too far, has decided in response to the most meagre hints from me that we are in fact government agents. Yes, government agents in deep disguise. She'll persuade her husband of this, and we will have carte blanche to go about our lovely unlawful business. What do you think of that?
I'm thinking about something else.
5 years ago, 3 years ago, when you spoke, even my grubby little heart raced. I went to a meeting to see you, posh boy from the hometown, rouse the revolutionary youth. You're the reason I got into all this. Me and Kirillov, and poor Shatov, and scores of others. I should be angry, but I'm not.
I honestly believe I've actually disappointed you. You wanted a hero you could manipulate and eventually betray.
What were you thinking about earlier? I want to know.
I've told my mother I'll propose to Lisa Tushner in 5 days' time. At the governor's wife's ball.
Propose what?
Marriage.
But you can't.
Because of Maria and my secret marriage to her. Have you told these young boys that I'm their secret leader?
Of course! I don't cut an impressive figure, but you! You're Alexander Nevsky. You should hear the stories I tell them about you. Your courage, ready wit, your care for the simple man. I leave out your care for the simple woman. Anyway, I've saved a really interesting tidbit for last. Fyedka, a serf my father sold to the army to pay a debt. He sold him, the filthy liberal hypocrite. All rights of man until the wine merchant sends his bill. Well, Fyedka deserted from the army. This was years ago, and he got caught, sent to Siberia, the usual. Last spring, he escaped from there and slowly, painfully made his way home. He's hiding out in one of the local woods. He's a perfect instrument. You can see that. Full of rage. Blunt, but very biddable. He will do anything we ask. The odd assassination.
Missed. Only 12. I once got to 3,020. I must start again.
It's all coming together very nicely.
What are you doing here? You can't just walk in like that. I might have shot you.
I might have thanked you for saving me the trouble. I came to ask you something, Kirillov. What's that you're writing? Your last will and testament?
Yes.
Can I read it?
No.
I wouldn't mock you, you know. I have the greatest respect for you.
My sister. She's very young.
I never met her, I think. Pity.
That's the only thing that I worry about. I'm leaving you alone in the world.
So these 6 sheets of foolscap are to be your explanation and her consolation?
7, so far. I can be a bit long-winded. I haven't time for you, Nikolai.
What exactly have you promised the committee? Pyotr has dropped hints.
What business is it of yours?
Well, and this will sound strange, I was thinking I might try and dissuade you.
I still believe in the struggle. Still, the perfect life is impossible. But the way there, we must make it alone, the human race, the people. For there is no God. There is no God yet. But there will be one. Listen. Freedom is possible only on the cliff edge. That instant before the fall. No, not the fall. The leap. It must be the leap.
What have you promised the committee?
I will kill myself at a time and place of their choosing. And I will leave a note claiming responsibility for any act, any atrocity they want to lay at my door.
Really?
I'm not asked to approve of their actions, only to take responsibility for them.
Could anyone, even me, could I persuade you that this is insane? Kirillov, this is insane.
It is insane. Sometimes I regret my promise, but I've given my word.
Your poor sister, alone and bearing the eternal disgrace of sharing your name. We can imagine the atrocities they'll want you to claim. What a life she will have.
Why did you sleep with Shartov's wife? With poor Maria? It broke his heart. He thought the world of you. Where's she now?
I don't care why I did it. You don't think it was important to me, do you? As to where she is, she's an independent woman. A free spirit. She was in Geneva last time I heard anything. Such a serious girl.
Don't speak like that.
So you think they will want you to perform your fall, your leap soon?
It'll be Piotr who tells me when to do it, I expect. Speaking for the committee, him of all people.
My sincere condolences on that.
Shh. There's someone listening at the door. I can always tell. Keep talking.
Well, someone followed me here. I think it's that escaped convict, Fyedka. You've heard of him? Piotr has set him to follow me.
Why didn't you say something?
On the other hand, it might be the police. I'm Stavrogin. They won't arrest me. You, on the other hand, they might arrest you. Which might save your life, ironically.
I heard his voice.
Maria.
I heard his voice and I heard yours. You can invite me in, I'm cold.
Of course.
All my ladies stopped coming. They stopped coming to get their cards read, their fortunes read, because now I'm questionable. I'm a liar, a loose woman, but I'm definitely not Nikolai's wife, despite the fact I am. So no money from the ladies. Therefore my brother, a fat, ugly idiot, beats me. Look at my arm. The bruises.
I will make better arrangements for you. I will find you somewhere better to live than this.
It's like a game, isn't it, with you, man? You're not the man I married, Nikolai. No wonder everyone disbelieves me. He was kind. Kinder than you. You've turned into an imposter.
Very soon, I will take you to Switzerland. To a lovely house. A lovely house with the most wonderful views of the mountains. You like the mountains?
I like the mountains.
Everything quiet, the air quiet, perhaps a little music from a room downstairs. It's warm, and you'll sit in your favourite chair with a purple...
What purple shawl wrapped round my shoulders eating chocolate? I know exactly the place you mean. A bloody madhouse. You owe me more than that. Mr. Kirillov, will you walk me home?
Take her downstairs to her rooms, Kirillov. I have words to say to Mr. Stavrogin.
Shartov.
I don't want you to hurt him, even if he is a bad prince.
We used to worship this man. Do you remember those days, Kirillov? We could quote whole chunks of his wise words. And then we discovered that's what he was doing. Quoting whole chunks of someone else's wise words. Nice voice, noble brow, and those understated patrician manners are adorable.
Good night, Maria.
Don't, Shartov.
Don't what?
Come on, Maria. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Let's go outside, Stavrogin. Come on.
Did you follow me here? I thought it was someone else.
I didn't follow you. I live in this dump. The walls are thin. Who do you think is following you?
Fyedka.
Who's Fyedka?
An escaped convict. He's following me under instruction.
Whose instructions? What are you talking about?
This might be our last opportunity to speak. I do owe you something, I suppose. Let me explain an important thing to you, Shartov. You don't resign from being a comrade, you know. They don't write back a note thanking you for your service and wishing you luck in the future. That's not how it works.
Outside.
Is this a formal challenge?
No. I'm just going to take you outside for a talk.
Well, is it to be bare fists? Or will you pick up some of these broken bricks to pulverise one another with?
We went to Germany, Kirillov and I. Do you remember? Soon after you recruited us. I went down a mine. It nearly killed me, but we were so inspired.
You lost your faith when you discovered my liaison, my very brief liaison with your wife. Can't have been much of a faith.
I loved you more than I loved her. That's the thought that torments me.
We need women, but they are difficult to love.
You're quoting someone else again.
But to get back to the point, Shartov, they may have said to you that you were free to leave, that they would always consider you a comrade and respected the work you'd done organising the masses. They may have told you even the best of us get exhausted, and that they knew the day would come when you would once again join the ranks of the revolution. But in fact, the door barely closed behind you before you were sentenced to death. I'm sure they did the same with me when I made my little resignation speech. But in my case, they told me they didn't take it seriously. I was too important, too much the gallant leader. A rest back at home was what I needed. They sent Pyotr with me with instructions to destroy this place. I think he likes being my jailer, my second in command, and one day assassin.
You're trying to trap me into something, but what?
Get away from here. I mean it. Save yourself.
Why don't you?
I should, of course. But even the worst of us are full of contradictory impulses. Today, I'm full of good impulses. Save you. Save Kirillov. Tomorrow, who knows? Listen, the truth is, I am married to Maria.
I thought that was just confused.
I'm married to her, and I promise you this, I will make sure she's looked after. I will acknowledge her before the world as my wife. I will settle enough money to make her life... to make her life pleasant. I swear it.
Every conversation with you is like lifting a stone. The things that crawl out.
This is what?
I don't claim they are anything other than a muddler. I'm not an accountant. My worst enemy wouldn't accuse me of that. No, Pyotr, I would rather you didn't...
Don't worry, Dad. I have a sense of humour. What a joke all these papers are. What a bloody, bitter joke. There's me living on barley soup for years! For bloody years! While you lived on 8 bottles of red wine a week. My mother's money. My poxy inheritance. Oh, by the way, you've heard Fyedka has escaped from Siberia. You remember Fyedka? The slave you sold to the army to pay your debts?
I didn't.
No, sorry. He wasn't a slave. He was a serf. Big promotion. And now we've done away with serfs. He can be a servant or a worker. What glories does the future offer him, I wonder?
I have been as trapped in my life as any man.
Oh, shut up! Shut up! You pompous old hypocrite!
How dare you?
I'd make sure your windows are bolted at night now that Fyedka's back. He mightn't find you as much a lovable old reprobate as I do. I hope you're not still counting somehow on marrying Shatov's sister Daria in order to refill your coffers. Mrs. Stavrogin only made the suggestion, or rather, ordered you to, didn't she? She only ordered you to marry Daria because she thought her beloved Nikolai might have a tendresse for her. Or more bluntly, that he'd had her, as he's had so many. Lisa Tushina, his bride-to-be, would not like that. Tell me, did you feel a tiny sense of shame touting yourself like that for a few rubles?
No one has ever spoken to me like this in my life.
To your face, dear Pater. Oh, but the things people say behind your back are choice. Actually, Daria hasn't. Hasn't slept with him. I don't know why she hasn't. I think dear Daria has some great notion of rescuing Nikolai just at the very last moment before his final plunge into the hellish abyss. That's her noble task. She wouldn't join us, you know. She wouldn't have anything to do with us real revolutionaries, milksoppy bitch.
What kind of a monster are you?
Mrs. Stavrogin understands what you are now. A parasite. You have lived off her for 25 years. She took you seriously. She thought you were a real intellectual. A man of letters. Not a drunken, gabby old charlatan. Well, your days of freeloading are over. She wants to see you this afternoon. Her eyes are open now, Dad. Wide, wide open.
Thanks to you, no doubt.
Thanks to me.
What a vile thing for a son to do.
I enjoy doing it, if that's a consolation. You must want me to be happy.
I have confessed. I have humbled myself before you. I have shown you both my sin and my repentance.
Oh, my dear, why don't try and talk normally?
I have not been a good father.
Never mind. It wasn't wasted. I have learned from your example. I will be a very bad son.
You don't like it, Lisa?
To be honest, no.
Oh, it's Piotr's favourite Chinese tea. He's such a remarkable young man. A little crisp in his manner. Very forthright, but I like that. He is my spy in the enemy camp.
Will I get them to make some other tea for you, Miss Tushner?
What? Enemy? Oh, you mean the governor's wife. No, thank you, Daria.
She has a stack of very racy French novels she keeps in a locked drawer by her bedside. She actually offered to lend poor Piotr one.
We will all have to go to this charity ball of hers, I suppose. Oh, I should go soon.
I am truly expecting Nikolai at any moment.
What's it in aid of again?
Distressed gentlewomen.
Things are going badly wrong. There was that fire in the factory. We all know how that happened. And people say the new army recruits can't be trusted. There are schoolboys running around the street shouting stupid slogans. Things they don't understand.
I think the factory fire could have been an accident.
Oh, Daria. Everyone knows the workers did it themselves, set fire to the factory. If they'd gone on strike, there might have been some sympathy. But this... cutting their own throats and their children's.
The conditions in that factory were horrific.
Where is Nikolai? I think he hides from me. I'm lucky if I see him for 2 minutes a day. He knew you were coming. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with us all?
It's getting dark. My mother will be getting anxious.
I am very sorry. Where is he? I told him you were calling this afternoon. Now you will be angry with him.
We'll meet again at this famous ball.
Promise me that you will forgive him.
I called to see you. Not him. Hello? Professor?
Hello, my dear.
On your way to see Mrs. Stavrogin?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I wish I hadn't come back to this town. I mean, it's lovely to see old friends like you, but I hate everything else. I don't want to spend my afternoons drinking tea, waiting for some idiotic man to arrive. You understand me?
I don't understand anything. You will have to excuse me for the moment. We will speak again. I can't stop now.
No, don't pull the curtains yet. Let us have the last of the sunset. She would make such a wonderful wife for him, don't you think? Don't you think so?
Lisa Tushner is a very nice girl.
There is no need to knock, Nikolai. This is your home. Oh, for God's sake, you.
Mrs. Stavrogin, Miss Daria, I trust I find you both well.
What do you want?
I was told... my son told me you wished to see me.
Don't use him as an excuse. Don't. Do you know that this man, this father, abandoned his only son to the care of a couple of old drunken aunties when he was only 7 years old?
I was travelling. I was travelling with you, as a tutor to young Nikolai.
Blame me. Abuse me. Ridicule me.
I am not doing anything of the kind.
Excuse me.
Don't leave this room. Daria, I absolve you of any responsibility to marry this man. Let's have an end to that nonsense at least.
Miss Daria, it is for you to express your feelings on this matter. I honour you and I am entirely at your service.
What a Romeo!
Thank you, Mr. Verkhovensky. I think it would be best to let the matter rest.
Perhaps we could have a private word, my dear.
A private word? I know what a private word means. It means him blathering on. Yes, blathering on. You think the term vulgar? Blathering on about his feelings while you struggle to get a word in edgeways. You may leave now, Daria. I find I do want to see this man. I do want to talk to him. He can listen for once.
Yes, ma'am.
My dear.
A horse-faced individual. My face. That's how you described me.
That is not true. Never.
All of Petersburg laughed at my pretensions. My pretensions!
We have been friends, more than friends, for 25 years.
More than friends. Oh, certainly we've been more than friends, because I, pathetic, withered widow, have been nursing a violent passion for you all this time. So you have declared, standing on your hearthrug to everyone's amusement at the intellectual evenings that I, withered and widowed as I am, paid for.
What are you saying? How can you say such things? How can you believe such things?
My hair is dyed. You told everyone my hair is not dyed. It is not.
Pietro, I told you these things. He is lying. He's my son, and he is a liar.
Why would he lie?
We must calm down. Can I, Mrs. Stavrogin, Varvara, can I ask you to listen to me, please? For the sake of... I appeal to you.
You do not appeal to me. Being ridiculed, being the butt of jokes, being preyed upon, used, exploited, humiliated does not appeal to me.
My dear, dear old friend. No, I don't mean old.
It all ends. Everything ends. A new day dawns. I will not be leached on for a moment longer. One more ruble will you have from me. I will write to your landlord this very day and tell him to expect no more money from me. I will let all the shopkeepers know your new position. Finally, Stepan Verkhovensky, I declare myself a free woman. What do you say to that?
I am at a loss. I'm dumbstruck. I am leaving.
Aren't you going to defend yourself?
I will never accept your charity. Your kind charity. Again. It was kind. Despite my sarcastic tone, it was kind. You thought too well of me. You thought I was a man for the age. But I am only an old Yorick.
Oh.
An empty skull. I will go. Not just from you, but from my life in this town. I will take my few possessions and set out to discover the soul of Russia, if it has a soul. And if I have enough of one left to recognize if it does, perhaps I will die in the ditch. Perhaps I will die of the cholera.
What nonsense! Melodrama! He warned me there would be melodrama.
Forgive me.
Good. Good. Good! Good riddance.
Well, that's the new printing press working nicely. Good. So we have a lot to discuss, comrades. Plans to plot, etc. Some of it of a private nature that is not for all ears looking at you, Shatov.
You asked me here. Believe me, it's the very last place I want to be.
Oh, you still have your uses. Getting this beauty put together is one.
Kirillov could have done it.
He doesn't have your brute strength. First thing I want to do is mention Erkel here. Only 17 and already a bright spark. A light in the darkness, eh? A shining example to us all. As I'm sure the factory owner will agree.
Huh? I'm going.
You see, we can do that here. We can say that. Talk about the factory burning. Because we all trust each other. Even Shatov here. I trust Shatov. We're all comrades, aren't we, lads?
Yes.
They're good lads.
Aren't they just? And thank you for collecting them for me.
Is Stavrogin coming tonight?
No, Virginsky, he's not. Do you think we're the only group in the town or even in this district? He has a lot to supervise.
More than even I know about. You have no idea of the scale of the organization.
He's trying to impress you. It's a couple of hundred at most.
Comrades! This is not a game. We're not stealing apples. This is a matter of life and death. I've asked you this before, lads. Comrades. Dear comrades. Do you understand the commitment you've made?
Yes!
You have clenched burning metal in your hand and may not let go. No matter the pain! No matter the threats of death and prison, no matter your doubts and your human sympathy, you cannot let go. Whatever is done in the name of the revolution is well done. Whatever is done. Arson, assassination, and you keep your mouth
shut.
You keep your mouth
shut!
You keep your mouth
shut!
Bloody schoolboys.
Some men can bear this burden, the heavy weight of history, and some men break. Oh, they bend and break. Look at this broken man. He's a big man, but he's broken. He's an object lesson, isn't he? Isn't he, comrades? Perhaps, after all, I am a fool to have trusted him even to this extent.
I may not be a true believer anymore, but I am not a grass.
Oh, you can go now. Brzezinski, walk him out.
Look, would you listen to me if I warned you about that man?
You're broken. You're a weak man. All you can do now is keep out of our way.
Come and see me if you ever need help. And if not me, go to someone you trust. Do that, Virginsky, before you get in too deep.
Mr. Verkhovensky?
Ah, Stout Boots. Everything is possible with Stout Boots. Fishermen's stocks are the best, but how to find them here? You've heard, then. The word is already out. Everyone knows.
Knows what? I've come to talk to you seriously.
She has dismissed me from her presence. I am sent into exile.
You're always having rows with Mrs. Stavrogin.
Oh, allow me, allow me. I have not had a row. I have had a fall of almost Luciferian proportions. Now, I exaggerate, but that is how I feel it. I am not a devil. I am a weak man. A vain, weak man. What are people saying? Look, tell me the truth.
I need to talk to you about something else. Listen to me. I know you've had a troubled relationship with your son.
Viper!
But the principles he stands for are your principles, in a different form, with a different emphasis. Modern. That's true, isn't it?
Perhaps I will find a job as a village schoolmaster. Imagine.
You agree about the principles? In your time, it was necessary to speak, to write, to articulate, however hazily, a vision of the future. Your generation did important work. You articulated things, but now is the time to do more than utter noble sentiments and high-flung phrases. Now is the time for action. There's a call to action, and I must answer it.
Well, that depends surely on what the action is.
I know. You've had a troubled relationship with your son.
So at the moment, given how he has poisoned my oldest friend against me, I would rather not discuss him. Help me with this knapsack. I want to get going. My walking stick. Where on earth is it? And then we must say our farewells. I'm so glad you came.
But you don't doubt his sincerity, his commitment, his essential humanity. Shatov, who knew him in Petersburg, he seems to
think
he's...
Look, I won't say another word against my son. And I won't hear a word against him either. I have no right. I strike out the word viper I used earlier. If you have been a sinner, as I have been, you can't cast a stone, as the good Lord says.
I'm an atheist.
As am I, in one sense. Where is my walking stick?
There, in the alcove.
How do I look?
As you always do. Very distinguished.
You are my witness. You will tell everyone. I set out undaunted. My head bloody but unbowed. Oh, that's a bit of a cliche. I will have to look for hospitality. I will talk to the people. Communicate my real thoughts. Simple vagabond. I will find friends among the people.
You have friends here?
Don't say bloody, but I'm bowed. Think of something better. Oh, I'm too distracted with grief to speak well. Farewell. Farewell. Perhaps we may never meet again. Say goodbye.
Don't go.
Right.
I must be honest, Mr. Verkhovensky.
Oh, Pyotr, please, dear lady.
I must be honest and say I am feeling a little uneasy.
Will I open the window?
No, it's not that. It's not physical. I know you think I worry too much, that I am too anxious about my son.
All your worries will be at an end this evening. I can promise you that. He has spoken to me in the clearest possible terms. He's going to propose marriage this very evening to Miss Tushina. That news will completely eclipse the governor's wife and this ball of hers.
I am, of course, delighted he has you as a confidant, but I wish...
I wish I had a mother like you. A real parent.
I spoke to your father yesterday. Sternly.
And has he bombarded you since with 13 separate epistles explaining himself in ludicrous detail?
No.
Well, that's something. It's silly of me, I know, but I'm quite looking forward to the dancing. If I can find a partner, of course. I have Nikolai's success with the ladies.
The town is very quiet. People are afraid of the cholera.
I think I hear something. Now, what can that be? Oh, dear.
Is it the factory men? That's why the town is deserted. Oh, my God, insurrection. That's what it is. Stop the carriage. Why doesn't he stop the carriage?
Oh, I can see them now. Schoolboys, led by that Virginsky fellow. I met him in your house the first day I arrived.
What are they doing? Where is the militia?
There are only 20 or 30 of them out there. Young lads having a bit of a demonstration. Well, they won't call out the militia for that. Not outside the governor's gates. It would look bad. And besides, I'm not sure the authorities entirely trust some of the new militiamen. Agitators. Agitators have been agitating them. Whispering all sorts of ideas. Hey, Virginsky! Let us through! I'm here with Mrs. Stavrogin! Let us through!
Let her through! Move! Come on!
Thank you.
I bet this ball will be a night to remember. Half the guests will turn tail when they see those boys. It's all one in the eye for the governor's wife, though, isn't it?
I don't take any pleasure in that.
I bet you do. Four chandeliers. Isn't that magnificent? Positively imperial. And there's Nikolai, the beautiful prince, dancing with Lisa, his lovely bride-to-be. How elegant he looks. You'd know at a glance that he is a man with a magnificent soul. He's dearer to me than anyone.
Perhaps you might fetch me something? A glass of wine. Not champagne. I dislike champagne. They do look rather wonderful together.
Oh, you see the governor's wife over there? Quite a throng around her. That is always the way. Woodlice crawling over themselves to get a juicy morsel. What do woodlice eat, I wonder? Well, the woodlice, probably. Sometimes the strangest ideas pop into my head. Do you find that, Mrs. Stavrogin? Miss Tushina does not suit purple. What do you think? Objectively. Objectivity is all the rage in radical circles, but you know that.
She looks very well.
I suppose I better go and pay my respects to the governor's wife all the same. Dull old dust mop that she is. These things must be done. I'll bring some wine when I get back.
Someone told me they saw my old dad tramping out of town yesterday afternoon, boots and knapsack. I think we might really have got rid of
him
at last.
What do you mean? Who saw your father?
What? What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying.
It is perfectly plain what I'm saying. Can you all hear me, ladies and gentlemen? Ladies and gentlemen, I am answering the question you asked me when we met in my mother's a few weeks ago. I evaded giving an answer then, but I'm telling you directly and truthfully now that I am married. I am married to Maria Lebiedkin.
Excuse me. What is this nonsense?
A lot of things are nonsense, Mother. But not this. I married her some time ago in Petersburg. It was, I admit, a slightly spur-of-the-moment thing.
Why are you saying this? He has a fever. In front of the whole town, do you want to be disgraced? It's blackmail. She's a lunatic. She's a complete and utter lunatic.
She is a poor, unfortunate girl. I didn't want to deceive you, Lisa. I'm sorry not to have told you before, but it didn't seem necessary.
I see. Thank you. What are you all staring at? Can't a man be honest for once?
Do you want this wine now, Mrs. Stavrogin? As a restorative?
Or we could just turn tail and flee.
You knew!
Well, to be fair to myself, I thought she'd vanished. People like her often do.
Would you like this glass of wine, Miss Tushina?
I'm sorry, Lisa. You have responded magnificently. Excuse me, Mother. It would be better if I left.
Good night to all! I don't want anything! Go away, landlord! I'll throw you down the stairs if you knock on my door again.
You? What are you doing here? This is no place for you.
I had to come. I had to speak to you.
Please, let's not speak to one another. What's the point? I've said everything you need to hear. Go home, Lisa. Did anyone see you arrive?
No. I don't know. I don't care. This isn't the sort of place people I know would be found in.
That's why I came here. To avoid everyone.
What you did tonight was extraordinary.
Yes. Another extraordinary thing I've done. I'm losing count.
I'm going to sit by the fire and we are going to talk. I'm not leaving until we've talked.
Make yourself at home, Miss Tushina. Can I pour you a glass of this, whatever this is?
You think no one understands you. But I do. You did a generous thing. Something impulsive, something ridiculous. Not because it would do any good, not in this world, but out of a terrible, unbearable, literally unbearable sense of compassion. You married her. I understand that. You see how circumscribed my life is, because of my name, my money, and of course my miraculous beauty.
Are you joking, or is that genuine self-pity?
Genuine self-pity? I feel very sorry for myself. I'm like an automaton. I wind the key in my back and I walk up the aisle. That is the only action I am permitted.
Still better than selling yourself outside the local barracks for 2 rubles.
Yes, better than that, but still miserable. Cramped. I can do more.
What can you do, Lisa Tushina?
I don't know. I can give people money. I can talk about the change that's needed in the world in Russia. I can talk and talk. I can say the word revolution in the best drawing rooms. I know who you are. I know you are someone, politically.
that you are one of the leaders.
And you would like to become my what? My comrade? My comrade in the struggle? You know what you've risked by coming here at this time of night? How do you find me?
Mr. Vyjinsky, he was with the demonstrators. He saw you leave, pointed me in the right direction.
Are you sure it was the right direction?
Have you heard that Stepan Verkhovyansky, my professor as I call him, has run away from home as well?
What a nice old fool he is. I like him.
I like him as well. Very much.
I've not run away from home though, Lisa. This place is just to avoid my mother for an evening. I have a headache, but I'll be home tomorrow. And you will be going home tonight. Or tomorrow morning, if you prefer. It's entirely a matter for you to decide. I'll respect your decision.
Another drink, please. She winked at me.
Who did?
The serving girl. When she brought the breakfast in just now. She couldn't take her eyes off me. Can you imagine how they will stare when I come down the stairs, the despoiled virgin? Like something out of a novel. Of course, this is all very trivial.
Not in the least.
You think it absolutely trivial?
You've ruined your reputation. I think that's a serious matter.
A serious matter for me, but not for you, of course.
No. This is something I could boast about. Discreetly. The world is very unfair. Coffee?
Why are you talking to me like this?
It's the way I usually talk these days.
You were better. Livelier. Sometimes livelier. When I met you in Switzerland. Kinder.
I probably was, a little. It's something like a wasting disease. One gets worse.
You're ill, Nikolai?
No. Not ill.
What is wrong with you?
I enjoyed last night. Thank you.
I've been a fool.
Not at all. Remember, you were never happier than when you found yourself walking up the stairs to this room last night. You felt you had control of your life because you were hoping you might do something irrevocable. And you were right. You have.
I thought I loved you.
No, you simply seduced yourself and now regret it.
Why are you talking to me like this? Don't you know it's cruel?
You're suffering from a little moral turbulence like seasickness. Perhaps for you it'll pass. After all, it's only a social sin. You've outraged no one but yourself and public opinion.
I thought we believed the same things.
Perhaps we do. I'll walk you downstairs. I will walk you anywhere you like.
Do you feel anything for me?
I'm unfortunate not to, I know that. To be a little dramatic, a little metaphorical, I put my hand in the fire to test myself once. I left it there too long, and now I have to make do with charred bone. Would you like to hear the story, Lisa Tushina?
I don't know. No.
All our interest, our obsession with ourselves, each other, morality, isn't it, if we're honest, hard to take seriously? I don't mean we should laugh, but isn't it all a bit ludicrous? What is really the difference between being a good person or a bad one? 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes. That's the difference. That's the length of time it took me. So let me tell you about this person, Nikolai. He loved being a passionate man, an important man. He loved to speak and spark his audience. He loved their moist eyes and radiant smiles. He also liked, in private, their moist eyes and trembling lips. He liked to commit certain acts. Outrageous, frankly disgusting acts. He liked to become suddenly aware of himself. Alive. So very alive. Doing certain things. Are you following me? He liked other people's shock. But also he liked his own. He liked that more. But of course that only ever ends one way. The law of diminishing returns, I think it's called.
Let go of my hand.
Listen, I was in Petersburg. This was 18 months ago. After my marriage and before the authorities warned me yet again to leave. I found an apartment. I was busy night and day with the comrades. I had certain little adventures, but that was to the side. It didn't interfere. I was mostly the man everyone thought me to be. My landlady had a daughter. A charming girl. She used to come up to my rooms and tell me all about her day, her dreams, her future.
So you seduced her? Or did you force her? Is that what you're telling me?
She was 11 years old.
What?
She was 11 years old. She used to bring her doll up to visit me as well. I used to make them both tea.
Dear God, you didn't.
I did. I planned it.
What do you mean you planned it?
And afterwards, I thought...
Who cares what you thought?
It was a mystery to everyone why she killed herself. Who ever heard of a child killing herself? I carried on living my life, and it seems as though I could do. But I think perhaps I overestimated myself. Burnt bone, as I say.
God.
Maria Lebyadkin, and then that poor unfortunate child. Others, of course, Shartov's wife, you. Pyotr has put them all in a notebook, probably.
This is impossible. You are disgusting.
Well, there are those who say everything is possible and everything is permissible. We must destroy the world in order to remake it.
I wish I had died before last night.
I can understand that. Nothing will be the same for you now. It will only get worse. Your thoughts, that's one thing I can promise you. There is nothing you can do to stop that. And there is nothing you can do to stop me. I can't stop me either, it seems.
You look quite the handsome bridegroom. But I do have to say your bride wasn't looking herself just now, coming down the stairs. Her complexion was all curds and whey. That's a play on the word curdled. What have you been doing with Lisa?
I don't want to see you now.
I sometimes think you never want to see me. Will I order breakfast for you?
No.
I've slept in this chair most of the night. They offered me a bed, of course, but I felt I was guarding you. The faithful hound, you know. Also, I wanted to be seen. I wanted anyone passing during the night to see me here and remember me. I'll tell you why in a minute.
How did my mother get home?
Who knows? We both abandoned her, didn't we? Well, not exactly abandoned. After all, she has more servants than sense. Your fist is clenching. Don't be angry with me. Oh, there was a scene after you left the ball, and even more of one when Lisa ran out. Though I think most people assumed she was going to dash off home and sob into her virginal pillow at the dreadful revelation. What possessed you to tell her, to tell the entire room that you were married?
She deserved to know the truth. I like telling it to her.
Perhaps she did. But why then and there? Did you know she'd run after you and then in one of those fabulous romantic gestures throw herself into your arms and swear the world and its shabby little opinions meant nothing to her?
I didn't ask her to come here. She made that decision herself.
Oh, God. So, to sum up last night, the ball.
the governor's wife's ball that she had spent months planning ended up in disaster and embarrassment. Half the people didn't turn up scared of the cholera. Then your little revelation, while outside the youth bellowed out their slogans. Everyone was so demoralised. The ball was meant to be a flourish of defiance in the face of oncoming chaos. The students outside got very rowdy as someone started passing around bottles of vodka.
You?
No, it wasn't me. I was stuck inside. There was talk again of calling out the militia, but I advised the governor not to. After all, how loyal is the militia, really? Consternation when I said that.
I don't care about any of this.
Wait, I'll drop all that nonsense. Listen. Nikolai, everything is going well. Everything is going according to the committee's instructions. I give you all the credit in my reports back. I promise you that. I told them how many we've recruited, and of them, how many might be truly useful. The boy arsonist, Urkel, that Virginsky, and a couple of others. But we must be sure of them. And how do we do that? The old baptism of blood always works. We need them to get their hands dirty. We have to do the usual. Point out the traitor in our midst and take exemplary action.
Will that traitor be me?
Never you, I swear it. But before we get to that, there have been developments. Very tragic developments. This is where it's rather useful that I slept on the chair over there. Highly visible. And you above all, have the most perfect alibi that anyone could wish for. Not that anyone will suspect us. And I think on the whole it might be a good thing. Your revelation about your marriage last night would be awkward if it came out in the course of the investigation. And there will be an investigation. Cack-handed and provincial, absolutely, but awkward questions will be asked.
What have you done?
And to think they'd only moved the other day. Very much thanks to the increase in money from you. But don't feel bad about that. And their new lodgings were on the outskirts of town. Quiet, out of the way. Their own little cottage. Very nice, I hear, though I never went there. I never darkened the door. They were found this morning by a neighbour. The door was open, and human nature being what it is, he peeped in. What a sight. Maria Lebyadkin and her nasty drunken brother lying in their respective beds with their throats cut. With their throats cut. Dead, of course. We all heard the whole thing an hour ago from one of the stable boys here when he came to work. He lives near them. I asked the innkeeper and his people to keep clear while I told you the terrible news. My condolences. Very understandable reaction, hitting me. Of course, we know who did it. The rumours are already circulating. A little bit thanks to me. Fiedka, the escaped convict. Remember me telling you about him? That serf my dad sold into the army to pay his debts. Deserter, prison, escaped, blah, 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 and came back here. Very interesting, very violent bloke. Wonder how my dear dad is, by the way. Off on his travels. Never mind about him. So, we've a murder. A double murder on our hands. Or rather, the authorities do. A very horrible one at that.
Poor Maria.
I always wanted to know about the baby. The one she used to talk about. Fantasy. I assume it was total fantasy.
I remember you talking about Fiedka. You called him a blunt instrument.
But with a sharp edge, as we can see now.
Why did she have to die?
Hard to say in some ways. It does add to the general moral panic. Also, she was a bit of an obstacle. You're free now to marry your Lisa, if that's what you'd like. We could do with the money. The movement could do with the money. She is very rich. Does she love you?
Not now. I cured her of that.
Pity. She might still have to marry you, though. Face disgrace else. You know, we'll worry about that later. Will we go home now? Your mother will be anxious.
Do you still believe it is all worth this? The revolution is worth it?
I never even think about it. And I know you gave up caring some time ago.
You're wrong. I still care. I'm still the man I was.
Really? Really?
I did try for a little while to be that man again. I did try to help Kirillov and Shartov only days ago, warn them, but honestly, who cares about them? Last night with Lisa, this morning, rather, when I told her certain things, was rather enjoyable.
The world is ours.
was the absolute very wonderful truth, or very soon will be, ours.
Poor world.
In episode 2 of Devils by Fyodor Dostoevsky, dramatized by Melissa Murray, Stepan was played by Gary Lilburn, Mrs. Davrogan by Jane Whittenshaw, Piotra by Jonathan Forbes, and Nikolai by Joseph Arkley. Lisa was played by Cecilia Appiah, Maria by Georgia Henshaw, Virginsky by Ian Dunnett Jr., Daria by Charlotte East. Shatov was played by Stefan Adigbola, and Kirillov by Hassan Dixon. Musical arrangement of The Birch Tree was by Ian Dunnett Jr. The director was Carl Prekop, and the producer was Mark Beebe.